When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And if we got a show for you, we've got Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins tearing it up to kick off the show. Damage Control going up against the new group in town. And The Miz is hosting SummerSlam. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Justin Labar, and taking a break from fighting everybody on Twitter, Jimmy Corderis. Corduroy, how are your fingers doing? All that tweeting.
No, it's only one. I'm horrible at the two thumb thing, so one finger is really sore right about now.
Which finger is it? Is it for all the people on Twitter?
It's the pointer one. It's not the one I use for the people on Twitter. That's when you do the roses are red, violets are blue. I have five fingers. The middle one's for you. So,
well, also join us, of course, Justin. You are not picking a fight with the world on Twitter. How are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. I am sitting here in my gimmick chair in studio wearing my Orioles gear, ready to talk pro wrestling with you two and the world.
It's going to be good. I'm excited. I had a great weekend. I went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine, just so you guys know. This is what happens at the end. No, I'm joking. I'm not going to ruin it for everyone. It was a great movie. I was totally jazzed about it. Everyone in the chat, no spoilers. Let me know if you saw it. I thought it was a really good time. I'm a big superhero nerd fan of all those movies, though. So I really enjoyed it. I hope everyone else who sees it.
So what's all this controversy with – what's all this buzz about Robert Downey Jr. unmasking himself? What's going on here? What's he doing on this? What is he joining?
So he was Iron Man.
Right.
Famously for a long time. Yeah. Iron Man, spoiler alert, this is like now 4 years old. He died, but now he's back and he's playing a different character, Dr. Doom. And so a lot of people are all up in arms. How can you be two different characters in the same universe? I say, one, it's superhero movies. Let's not overthink it here. And two, let's wait to see how they explain it in the movie. That's the fun of the movies. You get to see what they do. So that's what's going on.
Didn't they think Kane burned in a fire way back when, too?
He did, though, didn't he?
Well, apparently, but they thought he was passed away.
And his brother. It's
got to be Kane.
Because of his brother, his real-life brother, The Undertaker.
Right. If Dr. Isaac Yankum can have a SummerSlam match against Bret Hart, and Kane can also exist, then I think Tony Starks and Dr. Doom can all exist in the same universe as well. Wrestling rules apply here.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I agree. So Beard Money says, great movie. Great fan service. Yes, it was a good time. So we got some news to get to, gentlemen. We got to chat about all the big happenings in the wrestling world. First one actually isn't even in the wrestling world. It's more wrestling world adjacent, and that is a WWE NIL signing. Mason Paris got a photo with LeBron James over at the Paris Olympics. Now, of course, that's interesting to see here, Justin, but something about the Olympics these days, now that we watched and knowing how WWE works, not only are we getting to see cool competition, but now I'm watching going, which one of these people is going to be in a WWE ring soon? The Olympics happening is kind of has a different flavor to it these days with WWE.
Yeah, I mean, obviously yes, in some ways you can look at the Olympics and go, is any of this going to be feeder system to NXT and WWE? I don't know much to say about this. I mean, look, Mason Paris could turn out to be one of the next great world champions one day in WWE, or Mason Paris's photo with LeBron James might be as famous as Mason Paris gets to be. You just don't know. I guess in moments like this, with the whole signing of NILs and is this guy or girl the next future, right now my standard response is going to be two words: Gable Steveson.
Yeah, Jimmy, Gable Steveson, I thought, was a really big deal for WWE in a lot of ways, not just because of how much they clearly wanted him to be the next big star, but the fact that it didn't pan out. They're not backing away from the NIL system, though. There's obviously been some successes there as well. Thoughts on the NIL system, I guess, and also, are you enjoying the Olympics?
Well, I guess it's an interesting system because usually they take away from the indies. That's where you find your talent that you want to, groom for the big shows, move them up the roster and that sort of thing. But the NILs, I guess they figure maybe you could just start them from the ground up. And that way you don't teach them the bad habits that you don't want them to have that somebody might learn elsewhere. So maybe that's the logic behind it. And they are natural athletes. That's definitely not the issue. But natural athlete doesn't necessarily mean you can do what pro wrestling is. It's a completely different animal and a different training method. You have to train your body differently. And yes, we've seen very successful people come from, Kurt Angle, Chad Gable, others who have done it. But
Brock Lesnar,
yeah. I mean, they're guys who have done it. It's a different animal. So you gotta pick and choose, and you basically say, I hope this guy works out or gal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's I think that they've had enough success that I think it's definitely worth pursuing. I don't think that just because you sign an NIL that you should buy stock in that person becoming the next Roman Reigns, because obviously there's a big gap between those two things. But they have found some success, and I think that's really a testament to the training they have with Shawn Michaels and NXT and what they're able to do there. So I don't know. We'll see. I also think that if you're a fan of people on the indies, doesn't mean they're out of work either, because as we see people like Joe Hendry, they're popping up and doing big things and making a splash in NXT.
I was just looking because every time you say his name, he appears.
Yeah, he's right over here. He's just off camera, right? Hey, Joe, how are you? He's gone. but Justin, I want your thoughts on Joe Hendry. I feel like I haven't chatted with you about Joe Hendry real quick. This is just not on the topic board, but since I randomly brought it up, we always talk about ratings and we always talk about like how our metrics are for what's working in wrestling. And I feel like Joe Hendry to me has kind of blown that up completely, because if you look at TNA's numbers, how many tickets they sell, pay-per-view buy rates, ratings, they're not great compared to WWE, but this guy who's famous on there, who's their guy, is already at a point where everyone knows his song. Everyone's excited. They tease him and NXT arena is going nuts. Can we really even trust these old metrics anymore? Because Joe Hendry is clearly outside of those parameters.
Well, right. With metrics today, I stand by this, and I stand by this with WWE, with AEW, with TNA. I don't put a lot of stock in what the TV viewership rating was, because I understand that there's variables there. I understand there's cord cutting. I understand how accurate is the measurement of it. I understand that some people don't watch things linear from start time to finish time, from 8 to 10 or 8 to 11, that they consume what's on their timeline or they consume what's trending on YouTube. But I follow a metric of live event attendance now, because attendance always is on us. Now, with TNA, that's not really a fair thing because of the way their business model is. In NXT, it's not a fair model because they're in a confined space of the performance center. So then the next thing I look at is that I do think whenever you take anything, WWE, AEW, TNA, whenever said thing happens on TV, but then it is clipped by the company on the company's official YouTube and then put onto YouTube and you see the 3-minute or 5-minute segment, whatever it is, and where it compares to the others, I do think YouTube metrics, just comparing YouTube video to YouTube video under WWE's official account, under AEW's official account, under teenagers. I do think that is an interesting barometer to say, oh, what's catching on with people? It's fair apples to apples. And look, when Joe Hendry has shown up, when Joe Hendry's been involved with NXT thus far, the YouTube videos are pretty damn strong. So that's the metric that I think shows you he's over. You know, training camps in the NFL just kicked off here recently in the last couple of days. And there's a video that's going around of a New Orleans Saints player, I think it is, who, you know, he's coming on the field and he's doing the Joe Hendry stuff. He's doing the song. And it's like, here's a guy in Joe Hendry who up to this point has not appeared on Raw or SmackDown, the two biggest shows that WWE has not appeared on AEW Dynamite, the biggest show they have. You know, he's been on TNA and he's been on NXT. And still, he's already permeating into the pop culture. When NFL players are doing your thing, you've invaded into the pop culture. Who's more pop culture and with it than NFL players in the United States of America, at least? So if you look properly at what's fair to judge, Joe Hendry's he's hitting something right here.
Yeah, Leonard Jones asks, do you think he'll be known on the main roster, though? I mean, they're already showing lower thirds for him and putting him in commercials. I think you summarized it best, which is why I wanted to ask you that question, is because, I think YouTube probably is a good apples-to-apples comparison, and his numbers are up there with everybody's. In fact, I think they're some of the highest-viewed videos. So,
And what works for him, what's great, again, and I'm not starting a war, I'm not comparing him to anything or any other company, but what's a good sign for him, in my opinion, is that all the things that are most popular about him that get him the most over don't involve him killing his body. It's stuff that screams longevity. It's stuff that, you know, I mean, this is not new. It's not rocket science. I mean, you know, the Rock could do a whole lot more to a 20,000 person arena, raising an eyebrow, calling somebody a Rudy Poo, and you know, dropping one elbow versus having to work a 20-minute match. I mean, that's where you want to get. Stone Cold can flick you off, toast a beer, and stun one person, and that was far more popular than him having to do a 30-minute, great match as stunning Steve Austin. So, Joe Hendry's. He's following that same recipe. It's clicking. It's working. People are remembering it. It's catchy. You can engage in it. You can participate in it. Can he wrestle? Yeah, he can go out there and wrestle. He can, but that doesn't have to be the number one thing he's got to hang his hat on, and do something crazy and bump his ass off like crazy to keep people, you know, with him.
Yeah, I don't know if he's actually even taken a bump on NXT. I mean, he got knocked out of a ring for a battle royal in 1 second, but as far as actually. Yeah. Do it, and he's already super popular. So, I mean, that is the dream, right? But speaking of people and things crossing over, Bloodsport happened this weekend, and Shayna Baszler and Julius and Brutus Creed were all three there, as well as Charlie Dempsey, all competed on Bloodsport. Jimmy, just another cool example of wrestlers stepping out of WWE and having matches. Not only were they there, but one. Royce Isaacs beat Charlie Dempsey, which I think is pretty cool that it wasn't just them going there and annihilating everybody, but someone actually got a win over them. But also, they talked about Bloodsport on Raw multiple times tonight. Just another cool thing that's happening in the world of pro wrestling that I don't think we would have seen happen just a few years ago.
No, absolutely. We wouldn't see that something like that happen, especially that style of wrestling. Yes, TNA, the crossover with NXT, seeing that, yeah, it raised a few eyebrows. Pun intended with the Rock thing reference earlier, but this one here has got a lot more attention, in my opinion, only because of the style of the Bloodsport. It is a work shoot style. It is a lot more snug, a lot stiffer. There is a lot more heavier contact. Let's put it that way. And you know, it's good to see them cross over. And there are a few talents like Shayna Baszler, the Creed Brothers. These are talents who can go over and work that style. Because, you know, the Creed Brothers with their amateur background in wrestling, it kind of fits right in there. But it also incorporates a lot of MMA. Which Shayna Baszler is obviously from that world. So it's very interesting that they can mesh those two worlds. And I like the interesting thing with Bloodsport is they don't run like a weekly show.
Yeah.
We don't do that sort of thing. So that makes it feel that much more legit. I'm not saying that what they do doesn't hurt. It's more, or it's, you know what I'm trying to say? I hope at least.
Yeah.
It's a lot, very physical. It's a very physical style. Make it look as authentic as possible.
Yeah, I would, Jimmy, I mean, I think to clarify what you're trying to say, I think I would say it as this: is Bloodsport, the brand, the company Bloodsport chose, it has the physicality of a legit fight, but it has a predetermined finish.
There you go.
You know, it's that's the bridge. I mean, it's an interesting bridge because it's the most successful bridge that we've seen of MMA and pro wrestling, where again the finish is predetermined, so you can put on a show. You can dictate the story and dictate the winner, but the physicality is like, oh my god, this looks like a real fight. It feels like a real fight. There's no ropes. There's, you know, it's the successful execution result that the Brawl for All could never be back in 1998, where we're gonna have the two pro wrestlers go out there and have a real fight and everybody's gonna get injured. No, you still have to have, there still has to be a work to it. There still has to be some agreement amongst the two participants. So
yeah, it's a really cool show. For people who haven't seen it, I recommend checking it out. It's definitely something different that still is in within the realm of pro wrestling, and I could see it catching on and being big for a lot of people who maybe don't like the entertainment side of pro wrestling, as some people say, or want something a little bit more grounded.
It's a very interesting, again, concept, brand. They have a certain, this brand of Bloodsport does have a certain equity built up to it over the years and shows they've done. It's not surprising that WWE would be willing to do a little bit of a crossover with them like they're doing now, considering that WWE is owned by TKO, which also has UFC in their back. It feels like if out of all the other companies and things that are out there, I know there's been a lot of talk of, oh, would is WWE going to buy TNA? Because whatever. Out of all the companies that are out there, the Bloodsport concept maybe makes the most sense to fit the TKO portfolio, because again, it kind of bridges that pro wrestling and MMA world.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, speaking of that bridge here, Justin, a super like pro here, just making this easy for me. Layup. UFC star Paddy Pimblett has a message for Triple H about a potential WWE debut, basically saying, show me the money and I could be there. Justin, we talk about the idea of a crossover someday happening with TKO, with UFC, WWE. Someone like Paddy feels perfectly made for something like this, just like a Conor McGregor would have previously. I don't think he's with UFC technically anymore, but Paddy sure is. Are we going to see a crossover sooner rather than later, or is this all just us wishing and hoping?
I mean, I think obviously we're seeing brand synergies of, you know, WWE and UFC taking over a city on the same week, and I think that's going to continue to be, that's going to continue to happen, and it's going to get bigger and bigger, and that makes a lot of sense. But I think that there might be some, kind of like we were joking about the Olympics, there might be some element to, there might be, the UFC might provide a little bit of a feeder of like, you know, okay, we see a guy or girl who's very athletic, who's got a ton of that charisma, a ton of that thing that you just can't teach. Can we now just take their physicality and athleticism? Can we teach them how to apply it to the craft that is pro wrestling, to the work and the art that is pro wrestling? But I don't think, like, I would not sit back and expand and be waiting for some kind of like Team UFC versus Team WWE at Survivor Series, because again, it's much like the problem that happened with the Brawl for All. Once you expose either side, once you expose either one, you know, like, it just, like, are you going to take a UFC fighter who's still in their active career and have them selling to a pro wrestling move? That's not necessarily going to translate great for their career if they're still active as a UFC fighter. Same thing as, you know, it's a lot easier to be an MMA person first and then transition to pro wrestling. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's easier. Mm-hmm. We saw the success of Brock Lesnar. We saw the success of Kurt Angle being from the shoot wrestling, shoot fight world to kind of come over. It's virtually impossible to go from the pro wrestling first and try to translate yourself into the MMA shoot fight world. It's just, so I think, again, yeah, shout out to, you know, tag Triple H, try to get his attention, because if your UFC career is winding down, you can get many more years of your body potentially surviving in the pro wrestling world than you can in the shoot world. But I'm not, again, like I said, I'm not expecting like a Survivor Series here, clash of two worlds, because it just doesn't work.
I could also see Dana White not being thrilled about one of his top guys taking 6 months off to train for a pro wrestling match where he can't make the UFC any money. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's where the parent company working together may mean something. But Jimmy, in your time, what was kind of the view in the locker room of people trying to transition over from mixed martial arts into pro wrestling? Did people have a particular view of it, or was it just like, hey, a new name, regardless where they came from, doesn't matter?
I don't think they cared exactly where they came from, as long as they understood the business they were entering now. It was a different world. You know, the etiquette backstage, for example, is a completely different thing. I don't know what it's like in the MMA world. I can only speak to what it's like in the pro wrestling world. You know, there is a certain etiquette and certain protocols, especially when it comes to veteran talents and how they are treated and how they are respected. But everyone is respected backstage in pretty much the same vein. But again, there is a hierarchy, like it or not. And yeah, usually they're welcomed in, but as long as they, I hate to put it this way, because it almost sounds like pushing back. As long as they know their role and know their place, mm-hmm. you know, hey, you're coming into our world, accept it and be one of the gang, be one of the players, be part of the team that's going out there to make money. Yes, you're going to try and get yourself over, but again, it's about helping everyone out as well. It's not just about you.
Jimmy, here's a name we don't ever talk about that much. Mm-hmm. But before there was Brock Lesnar, before there was Kurt Angle, one of the OGs in the UFC, what was it like when you were there when Ken Shamrock came in?
Oh, Ken, I didn't find there was much of a problem with Ken. They just had to kind of rein him in a little bit, because once he started going and he got amped up, you know, that's when the potato starts flying. And you had to calm him down a little bit and say, you know, you got to rein it in. Yes, you want to show that rage. That's part of what we do. You emote, you show emotion. You want to get the people invested and see that genuine anger coming out. But at the same time, you got to rein it in just a little bit. And yes, sometimes you have these situations where you're going to apologize ahead of time before you go into the match. But you can't have it happen every match. It's just with Ken, he just had that much. When he was amped up, he was hard to calm down.
What did he used to scream? I'm in my zone.
Yeah. Yeah. He was in his zone sometimes. Yeah.
I guess you say, Jimmy, you say you can't do it every time, but who's going to stop Ken Shamrock? Like, he probably could have taken anybody anyways. What are they going to do about it?
Well, you can stick a haku on him or something like that.
I guess that's true.
Well, his first, if I remember right, Shamrock's first program was with Vader of all people.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's kind of like Brock Lesnar today. Like, if he wants to hit you hard, what are you going to do about it? Just ask him nicely to stop, because, you know, not much you can do.
I was nice to Vader and he chipped my tooth. What can I tell you?
Maria says Dan Severn did a solid transition from MMA to wrestling as well. I like Dan Severn too. I like the mustache.
He just doesn't know how to fight a baggage claim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had an altercation with someone, and he went to throw a kick and got his foot caught in one of the straps of a carry-on bag. No. And it was just a comedy show watching him try to get it untied from this foot.
Oh, no. So we have a feel-good story. Cody Rhodes was gifted his dad's Dusty Rhodes, his old robe and hat at a Tokyo event here over the weekend. And just a pretty cool feel-good story, Jimmy, to get that kind of memorabilia from a parent, especially one that is no longer with us. It had to be a cool moment for Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, it is a very cool moment, because everybody knows how emotional he gets about his dad. It's he was his hero, you know. And like you said, it was a very cool moment, and you know, he showed a lot of respect, as you do in Japan. It's, you know, it's a tradition there. And It was kind of nice that they brought it out. I didn't know there was something that that belonged to Dusty over there. And it's kind of cool to see something like that happen. And good for Cody, man. He loves that stuff.
Justin, what are the odds? What's the over under on a few years from now, Cody Rhodes being on WWE Hidden Treasures and WWE trying to get back the robe and the hat for their show.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be hunting down more of his father's attire. That seems like a layup if that show continues on A&E.
I see him selling the stuff or trying to like do something, it's
like, or somehow somebody will get a hold of like some like Stardust stuff or something. He's tracking that down, or you know.
Well, it's been all over social media. Him accepting that robe in Japan that belonged to his dad and the hat that went along with the matching hat. But what if the new members of the Bloodline were to get their hands on that?
You know, I was thinking about how different times are, because Dusty Rhodes was incredible and Cody Rhodes is incredible, but like Cody could never come out wearing that same outfit and have us treat him the same way we treat Dusty or him today. It's just, I guess, style and things change over time. But I saw him in the picture and I was like, it's so funny. Both guys are incredible. It's father, son, but there's no way you could flip the two and what they did and have it still work. I don't think, I guess Cody's a performer. Maybe he might make it work, but it just seems weird to see.
But he would have to change his entrance music and get them to do "He's Not a Common Man."
No, I wanted to come out to the Sweet same Satire. Song with that music, with that same song. I want to do the whoa with the hat and everything. I want to keep it the same.
Okay,
but I do like Dusty's old music. Speaking of music, this has nothing to do with music. This weekend, Flobo Boyce and George Hermosa on Saturday, immediately following SummerSlam, are going to break down the biggest moments and matches that happened throughout the PLE. So everyone tune in and check those two out as they break down what's looking to be a pretty big show. I'm sure they're going to love talking about the return of Roman Reigns. They're going to love talking about John Cena getting involved. They're going to, I don't know, stuff's happening. We're going to predict all of it later. If you guys want to hear more of my crazy ideas, wait till the end of this show. We're going to go through all the matches. We're going to talk about everything that's going to happen. Might be a bit of a spoiler alert because we always get 100% on our guesses.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's talk about today's Raw. Of course, thanks for joining us here in the chat. Steven, KOD, Tuck Graff, Jose, Brian, Reaper Brink, Danny Cochran, Tommy O, and everyone else, Mike Martin stalking you. Tox Kazim, everybody, Majestic Marie making a triumphant return to the group. Everyone, appreciate you all. Also, and I highlighted it and then I unhighlighted it because I was reading everyone's name. I was corrected about Joe Hendry. He did have the tag match with Trick Williams, so he has had an actual match. I was mistaken there. Let's talk about the show. This one started off in a way that I thought was absolutely awesome. Seth Rollins exerts his authority over CM Punk and Drew McIntyre to go through the rules. Punk says he doesn't want Rollins' help, and Drew says that he took Punk out for 7 months, and he wasn't even trying. They go back and forth before we get a final standoff. Justin Labar, this was a picture-perfect go-home promo, in my opinion.
First of all, I like Seth establishing his authority, right? You know, I like he's goofy. Seth is out there dancing and always doing the thing, and he's got a ref attire that looks ridiculous. But I like that he's establishing his authority by saying all those things he said. Like, I'll count you out if I want to. I'll count if I don't want to. I'll referee discretion. I mean, it was like it's like AEW referees getting like a pep talk. You know, so I like the fact that he's establishing authority. My problem, I guess, came with is that, okay, they obviously clearly said, in rightfully so, nobody can touch anybody, otherwise the match is off. Because how can you have these guys within arm's reach of each other and not all be trying to kill each other? Mm-hmm. And I think that the longer this went, the longer this promo exchange went, the more harm that did. It was like, I almost think that they should have just tried to, you know, and they've done this trick in the past, have Punk or Drew or whoever makes the most sense so it doesn't look cowardly, I guess, have one of them up at a skybox, have one in the ring, have one at the entrance, or like have them not within physical arm's reach, because having seen all three of them in the ring and they're saying these personal things and tensions are rising, which again, it's good. The tensions are rising. It's like, you're like, they got to just start beating the hell out of each other. And so that's a good sign for Saturday of like that. We're ready to see it. And that it's so palpable and it's there more than, Gunther versus Priest. It's there more than any other match. But the longer this went on, the more it was like, all right, this is starting to get awkward. The fact that these three guys are having to like talk this much crap to each other and nobody's able to like lay a hand. Like, I kind of liked what Punk started to do, where he immediately went to the outside after he heard he couldn't touch Drew. And he's like, I'm worried what I'm going to do, so I'm going to stay out here. I wish he would have stayed out there.
Right.
That was my thing. But that being said, this is not going to ruin. It's not ruining at all my intrigue to see this match. But I just thought, when you have something that's this personal feeling, this real, I mean, good. One of them said, I'm not going to stop until your heart stops. I mean, like
we're, right.
Like, you can't be talking that way and have everybody inside of this 20 by 20 ring. This is when you need 50 security guards from St. Paul Security Academy out there to be a buffer.
St. Paul Security Academy, top notch security, by the way. If you want to be a security guard, go to St. Paul Security Academy. That makes total sense to me. Everything Punk did was right, but you're like, when he came up to Drew at the very end, it did feel like he stopped. It felt a little weird. It's weird because you're right. That was the right move to do, but at the same time, visually, it did feel like, oh, you didn't follow through, Punk. Why? It seemed a little. It also seems a little bit like they just want to fight each other so bad. Why do they even need to just go to the parking lot and go settle it? Why do they need the match? But I get it's wrestling. We have to get it into a ring. But that was kind of what I was thinking, too. Jimmy, I want your thoughts on this. And also, Justin alluded to it. I mean, Seth says, you know, maybe there'll be a count out. Maybe it'll be 10, 20. Mm. Not at all. Seth Rollins has made it clear. Ref's discretion. How do you feel?
Well, because it's Seth Rollins and he's a special guest referee, then it fits. It fits the narrative of this match. He's not a fan of either guy, so he's going to call it. He's, like he said, he'll count to 10 if he feels like it. He may count to 20. He may count to 100. He may not count at all. But I don't mind that because he is the special guest referee or special enforcer, whatever you. But again, I agree with you, Justin. I don't think I would do that attire justice, but. You know, I agree with Justin. I thought it lacked some steam. I mean, here we had Drew spitting fire all this time, and now he seemed like laid back Drew. And the other thing, I didn't feel like there was any moment where you anticipated, oh, here they go. They're going to get into it and somebody's going to need to stop this thing. That there wasn't even a tease of it enough for me to say, yo, this looks like it's going to go. It looks like it's going to go down. Are they going to put this match in jeopardy for this Saturday? That didn't happen at all. And the fact that as they were going back and forth trading barbs, Drew was starting to get some cheers.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that got some of the fans going, oh, wait a minute. Why are some people cheering for Drew? That's not right. You know, and it kind of made, as opposed to, you know, pumping up the crowd, it kind of quieted him down a little bit, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, Justin, yeah. Do you think the crowd, because I noticed that too, are people just excited for this match, or is Drew becoming a bit of a favorite by being so good in this role?
I don't know if he's becoming a favorite because he's so good in this. Well, I think what it is with this one in particular is that CM Punk's the babyface, generally, but like he's done some heel thing. Like he took Jessica Carr, referee Jessica Carr's shirt, stole it off of her and blatantly screwed Drew in his home country. Like, so like Punk's the good guy because like he's back and everybody's happy he's back and he's happy to be there and all this stuff. And Drew, because of all the things that he does, he's mostly healed. But like it is a very shade of gray here altogether. And I think, you know, Drew's going to get some cheers because they are blurring the lines of reality. They are talking about things that at one point were true, at least were true in perception. They're saying you're a cancer. You're going, you're hanging on NXT. You're poisoning the minds of the next generation. Like, they're saying things that even if now, and I hope and assume it's all just business now, but at one point they felt that way. And they said these things in a podcast or an interview or what have you. That's how we got to this place, right? So because you're blurring these lines and because, like, Punk has had a controversial history in both this company and another company and has had press conference meltdowns, and like, you do run the risk of some people are going to, like, cheer Drew because they're going to be like, yeah, this guy, like, you know, like, you're blurring reality. So I'm not surprised. So, I mean, I guess maybe it is. Yeah, Drew is executing his role well. He's trying to tell people, like, look, why are you cheering for this guy? He's a problem. Even if, and again, I hope Punk seems like things are going better for real and everybody's enjoying their experience together. You know, it's a blurring line. I praise a lot of times WWE's creative under Triple H's regime and their attention to detail. A lot of times I do. This one just disappoints me because, again, it's like, all right, if you're determined to do a go-home Raw and have all three of them live in living color in the same damn ring, I think they needed to go the extra mile. Again, if having 30 jabroni security guards is no good to have in between them, how about bring out dressed police officers and have Punk handcuffed to one, Drew handcuffed to another. Like, just bring some extra things bring some extra reinforcement to, like, recognize the severity of, we need to have them in the same place so the referee and Seth Rollins can explain the rules, but, like, we got to show that we're going through the extra force here. These guys can't touch each other, and these guys are wanting to murder each other. I mean, I think Drew used the word assault. He's like, I'm gonna violently assault you. Like, we're throwing out, like, legal terms. I'm going to fight you until your heart stops beating. And we're talking about death. So I just think they needed to go the extra mile of restraint amongst these guys and have them just to have that end in a stare down and just jaw jacking at each other. It just didn't fit. So, but
yeah. Baby Ice in the chat says, Drew's the baby face because we love heels. Baby Ice, a famously antagonistic person in the chat here. Tutgraph says, I've compared Punk and Drew to Tom and Jerry. The roles can be reversed. But John Jordan, host here at Wrestling, has a question for you, Jimmy. Jimmy, do you recall any matches you worked with a special enforcer? If so, what is the ref's role in terms of working in conjunction with that type of guest?
Yes, I was involved in one. It was a six-pack challenge match where Stone Cold Steve Austin was a special guest enforcer to make sure that no shenanigans were happening outside the ring, and after I got pulled out of the ring, that's when he took charge of the match. So basically, I call the match as I would normally under the rules and stipulations of the match, and then once I was taken out of the picture, Stone Cold does what Stone Cold wants to do. He ended up counting the final three, but yeah.
He didn't drink a beer, did he?
I think he did before and after.
I want to give a shout out to Made by Dawn, a fan of the show, tuning in, finally getting to join us live. Made by Dawn, glad you're here with us live. Always appreciate when people can make it live, but if you can't make it live, that's cool too. We move on, and we had a tag team match. Akira Tozawa, who is ready, teamed up with Otis to face the Creed brothers. This is a pretty straightforward matchup with the Creeds getting the win, but the real story is post-match. As they're attacking Otis, the Wyatt Six come out and they destroy this new Alpha Academy. We also get Dexter Lumis's video. Justin, this was Wyatt Six first time as a group with all their masks off in the ring. Let me know your thoughts on how this one played out.
Well, first off, I just want to note real quick before we get to the Wyatt Six, it dawned on me that we never got, for all the buildup and all the investment that every audience and every town was in, we never got the straight-up Otis versus Chad Gable match, did we? We never got that payoff of getting to see Otis have, like, you know, and it dawned on me tonight at one point, because Chad Gable was not in this match. Chad Gable was on the outside in a suit. And at one point, he jumps up on the apron, and Otis took a swing at him, and Chad jumped down. But it dawned on me, like, well, he just took a swing at Chad Gable. Like, we never actually got that match. Like, they built all that up, you know, after all the abuse he had on Otis, and then we quickly pivoted with Chad being, like, the first primary target from the Wyatt Six. So I just thought that was interesting. I feel like maybe did they leave some money on the table, not even building a Raw, like having it be like the featured main event match on a Raw one week, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just my observation. Yeah, I look, I was happy with how this went down with the Wyatt Six. You know, I've said it in the past to you guys. They have to be human. They can be tortured souls. They can be deeply disturbed, but they still have to be mortal. They still have to bleed. And so I thought them taking the mask off Gacy, Rowan, and Loomis, I thought that was a good acknowledgement of that. As again, they wear these masks. Maybe that's their separate identity. They relate to what those masks. Whatever. You can go down all the jargon, but to take them off and to be real people while you're going to deliver wrestling moves, that was good. And I know, by the way, the piece of offense that we got with Gacy and Loomis to powerbomb one onto the bodies, that got a holy crap reaction from the fans. So I thought it was a success. And then Uncle Howdy's scaring Chad Gable off. And so I thought this was, again, a good direction. Next Monday will be the biggest test, right? Because we find out that those three that we saw tonight in the ring are going to be in a 6-man tag match next week. And, oh, by the way, Adam Pearce acknowledged that all three of them are under WWE contract. So, we're speaking very real here. They're not off in some spooky, wooky funhouse. They're under contract. There's paperwork. They are people that are under contract. So I'll be very interested to see the presentation of them in a bell-to-bell official match with an official referee.
I like that you mentioned the Otis thing, because I didn't realize that. That's a good point. But I did notice he came out with a shirt that said Free Otis, and I felt like that merch is a little late, because now he's already free. He's already away. Like, that's something they should have been selling while he was still trying to break away from the Alpha Academy. So it feels a little day late, a dollar short on what probably would have been super popular merch. And now it'd be very tough for them to get back to Otis versus Chad Gable without us just really caring about the Wyatt Six instead of what was a really built up matchup. Jimmy, I'd like your thoughts on this one too. Leonard says this was great. Losing the masks makes it definitely less ridiculous. But Mike Martin says they took the mystical parts away from the group. Do you agree? What do you like that they took? Do you like that the masks are off and that they're more human? I guess thoughts.
Yeah, I like it better with the masks off, and I don't think it was mystical. At least because these people are tortured souls, and that's how they're playing it off. They're tortured souls, not some mystical magical creatures just appearing out of thin air. So. I didn't mind that, and I didn't like the fact that they got into the ring and they didn't do pretty moves. It was pretty straightforward, you know, down and dirty, whatever you call it, sidewalk slams by, you know, and then Justin said, the power bomb on the two Creed brothers, and that running crossbody by Rowan looked, it didn't look pretty. It looked like it should have, like a steamroller rolling over these two guys, and that's what I liked about it. It looked hard hitting as opposed to pretty, and the test is going to be next week when it's a 6-man tag match. Do they ring the bell? And like we said, we don't start off collar, elbow, lock, tie up, and then, you know, headlock, shoot, drop down, you know. I want to see a fight. That's right. What these guys are supposed to be about. You know, obviously we're going to see some wrestling moves, but the wrestling moves have to fit their character and be devastating, not to the point where every move is a finishing move, but it everything should look like it hurts.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, arm drag, takeover, drop kicks and stuff like that. No, it's not supposed to look pretty, in my opinion.
Hey, Uncle Howdy, grab a hold.
Yeah.
Mike Martin in the chat says, it just seems like WWE moved too fast with them. Moved too fast? It's been months that they've been building up. How long did you want it to take? They started showing QR codes and things months ago.
I think Mike Martin wanted to see a few more VHS videos.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's already been a very long time that they've been taking. It's been like 2 months since they murdered everybody in gorilla position. It is a little interesting how they started very mystical with the killing everybody, black smoke, kind of controlling everything. And since then, it feels like they've sort of, I don't want to say backpedaled, because I'm sure this was the plan, but they've sort of stepped it back slowly into their regular people that are contracted. The being contracted, it feels a little weird to me, though, Justin. Maybe I'm overthinking, but it just seems weird that they're just like, oh yeah, I got a contract, and you know, I gotta pay the bills or whatever.
Well, it falls in line with the fact that they're taking the mask off and acknowledging that they are humans, and it also falls in line with the fact that we saw a few weeks ago Pierce go in his office, and we saw that Bo Dallas was sitting there in his office. They never really. You know, I don't really feel like they ever followed up on that much, or this is the subtle follow up of like Pierce knows that these are human beings that are under contract, and they're just, it is a little, I don't know, it's a choice. I agree, it does feel like a little pace back based upon they like bloodied and murdered everybody on that debut, and now they've paced back and they're just focusing on basically Gable. I think I said it last week. The weird thing again is like they made their impactful debut turning the entranceway and the gorilla position into like a haunted house with their impactful debut, and then now we're seeing them come out from the entranceway. So I don't know. But I do think, like I said, I think for the most part there's been a lot of good choices. You know, with these VHS vignettes, so like we're getting some kind of humanized acknowledgement of these, again, of these tortured people, and we're at least like, I'm glad we're acknowledging, we know who Joe Gacy is, we saw him on NXT, we know who Dexter Lumis is, he was part of some high profile things on Raw that, you know, may have fell flat, but still they were on TV. We know who Eric Rowan is. I'm glad they're not trying to like tell me that Dexter Lumis's name now is insert random name general, we're at least like just kind of like acknowledging the obvious. Which again, you know, every time I get tempted to get too critical on this one, I go, you know, if Vince were in charge of this, this would really suck. So,
yeah, you know. This would be a very, very different ball of wax. I think if this was a few years ago, mm-hmm. Jimmy, last thing on this, we saw Dexter Lumis, and I don't know how he grew that much hair that quickly. He's got long hair now, a beard. I don't know how he feels about the new look, but I'm just curious if you have any stories of wrestlers who had to change their physical appearance for their character and they just hated it. Like they had to get a haircut they hated or had to grow facial hair they hated. Is there any good stories of someone who was like had to do something to their appearance that they hated?
Oh, you caught me on that one. I wasn't expecting that. That's out of left field. And I'm trying to think of somebody one of the ones that I remember that just basically did it because he figured this is going to be my opportunity to get seen was Mordecai with that white hair and that white little beardy mustache thing that he had growing on. And of course, obviously it was quickly abandoned.
Right.
Because, you know, originally they had seen thoughts of him versus the Undertaker of thinking two mystical characters, the dead man versus whatever Mordecai was supposed to be.
Right.
Satan.
Yeah, I guess. So, yeah, he wasn't a fan of it, but he figured, you know, hey, you know, if this is going to get me noticed and on television, why not?
Well, you were there, Jimmy. I know Bruce Pritchard talked about this. Were you there? Do you know more about when Kane finally unmasked? And they decided to do the whole him with half a head of hair and not. Oh. And he was like, I can't go to my kids' games and I can't live my life like this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there was a little bit of discussion about that one too. Glenn kind of said, you know, like, I don't think this is going to work. It might work for TV, but it ain't going to work for home life.
Right.
You know, but yeah, sometimes you just got to say, you know what? Can't do it.
Yeah, we got I got to give a shout out F50 watching from Osaka, Japan, longtime listener from the UK. Wish I could have seen the WWE here, but tickets were too pricey. Guess high tickets are how they're paying the Wyatt contract. Well, man, F50, thank you so much for coming through. Thanks for listening from abroad. By the way, whether you're in UK or in Osaka, that's very cool. We had a lot of Judgment Day tonight, which is typical for Raw, but I want to start with Liv Morgan, who trashes the clubhouse. Later, she burns all of Dom's things, and she's not taking the breakup very well. Rhea Ripley, on the other hand, though, says that if she thought that Rhea Ripley was bad before, Liv ain't seen nothing yet. Justin, I love how this – I love how they've kind of twisted it a little bit, where at first it was Liv being – kind of just trying to take Dom away, and it wasn't serious on her part, but now she's kind of obsessed.
Yeah, I mean, they're really leaning into all angles of, like, you know, she's on the revenge tour, but they're leaning into, like, you know, psycho ex-girlfriend type of stereotype. And, you know, I mean, it's good. This is good. There's so much energy going into this match, and obviously all eyes are on Dom as well. He's not in the match as a participant, obviously, but, like, he's eventually going to make himself seen, you assume, whether he's there from the start of the bell or he makes an appearance. And, like, we're all waiting. You know, I tweeted something earlier. Finally, remember the SummerSlam in Cleveland in 1996. And Paul Bearer betrayed the Undertaker. That was out of nowhere. I don't think there was no little, you know, Easter eggs leading up to that one. That was out of nowhere. But obviously here we're all kind of waiting to see what Dom's going to do, who's going to do what to who. And, you know, it certainly feels like there could be a betrayal here of Dom with Rhea, like a blatant betrayal. And I mean, we're all here for it. Like it's the soap opera that's just been keep on giving. And it's been one of the hottest stories, arguably the hottest story, probably right behind Punk and Drew. If I was really to rank seriously, it's right behind that in WWE, at least, of like what's got the needle moving. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this match Saturday greatly.
I want to ask everyone in the chat and everyone who is listening or watching later to use the comments or answer now. Are you team Liv or team Rhea in this situation? And Jimmy, I'm putting you on the hot seat. Are you team Liv or team Rhea? Which side are you on?
You're talking personally or what I think Dom is going to do?
whose side are you on, Jimmy? You know, call it down the middle. Whose side are you on?
Okay. I'm team Maria. But but tonight we saw the scene in the Judgment Day clubhouse. Is that what they call it? The clubhouse?
Yeah.
Kind of a little trashed a little. Maybe it wasn't Liv who actually did the trashing. Maybe there was something afoot. Let's put it that way. I'll leave it at that. Might play into Saturday.
You know, we're actually kind of torn in the chat here. Doc says Liv as well as GMO and Baby Ice, but the King Art says Rhea. Leonard says Rhea. I think Mike Martin said he's going with Dom. I think so. It's kind of torn. Justin, I'm not talking predictions here. Whose team are you on though? Are you?
I am loyal to mommy.
Team Rhea. Oh my God. This is like when everyone was team werewolf and I was team Edward. I stick with it.
Did you really just
what a minute? I can't
wait. What, that's the oh my God. Another franchise is escaping me.
Twilight. Yeah.
Twilight. I was going to say, my mind wanted to say Twisters. Yeah. It was TW. Twilight.
I'm Team Twister over Team.
I'm going to see it in theaters this week. I can't believe you busted out a Twilight reference on this podcast. We got three grown men here, and you're busting out that on this.
Hopefully, that was muted. Was it muted?
I'm about to drop a bunch of F-bombs just so Wrestling just trenches this podcast, this episode. And
you Team Jacob people annoy me. I'm Team Edward all the way. Oh, when you get a glittery vampire, what more do you need in life?
You know, it used to be Ginger and Marianne. It used to be Kelly or Jesse and Saved by the Bell.
Or what now about Janet or Chrissy? You know,
I mean, come on.
Whoa. So, and I thought we were friends.
So I guess you're not going to tell me if you were team Jacob or team Edward. Okay, let's move on. We got Carlito versus Jey Uso because Carlito made the wrong match happen. And we got Finn Balor versus Gunther in our main event. Actually, I messed that up. I meant to say Carlito versus Jey Uso and then Dominic versus Sami Zayn because of the mess up that happened. We got Jey Uso gets the win. Sami Zayn gets the win technically because of DQ. Jimmy, I have to ask you, they asked on commentary, you're a professional. I got to know, are you allowed to eat an apple during a match?
There's technically nothing in the rule book about nibbling on fruit during a match.
You know, look, that's a soundbite from an official referee.
Well, see, I still got it right here. I was flipping through it today, just to, you know what I mean. And
there's nothing against nibbling fruit.
Yes. So, you know, hey.
this is where you get all the look. You can't get wrestling news like this anywhere. We talk Twilight. We talk nibbling fruits. Justin, what side tangent are you going to bring us on?
I mean, you asked me to profess my love for Rhea, and then I start thinking about nibbling fruit, and I'm just like, where are we going here? What are we doing? This is like the After Dark podcast.
We're going off the rails on a crazy train. Oh,
boy. these matches seem pretty straightforward, Justin. Of course, Braun Breaker comes out and he gets in a scuffle with Sami Zayn afterwards. Kind of straightforward go home stuff here. Any takeaway from those matches?
I'll talk Sami and Braun real quick. I mean, it's notable that Braun already lost on a PLE and now he's getting another title match against Sami. That tells me they're not going to run another PLE match for Braun to lose again. And the way that this was booked definitely felt like the Braun's winning Saturday. Which I know we'll get to our predictions, but that's kind of what I took away from this. Jey Uso's over, and they got the whole yeet foam hand and everything, but like, it's like they just don't have a place for him. I don't know if he's a placeholder to insert him back over on SmackDown to Bloodline stuff as that saga goes on. I don't know if. You know, it's like the mid-card's kind of busy because you got Braun maybe getting ready to become IC champion, and then is LA Knight finally going to win something of meaning? You know, it feels like Jey Uso, which is crazy because he doesn't have his brothers. You know, Jey Uso's finally getting a true singles run, and he's over, right?
Yeah.
It's not like this. It's not like it's the Jey Uso experiment's not working. He is over, but they just don't have anything for him. Like, he's like... He's just kind of floating around like these different stories and just, you know, where can we, you know, oh, he's got his eye on Rhea Ripley. I don't know. It's just, they don't have something for Jey Uso. That's kind of bizarre to me.
Yeah, Jimmy, I agree. I was actually thinking that very much same boat LA Knight is in. Everyone loves him. Don't really know what we're going to do with him. LA Knight looks like he might end up getting some gold later on. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I don't really see Jey Uso winning the world title anytime soon. I don't see him winning the Intercontinental title anytime soon. Can't imagine him just going right back into tag team action after everything they did to make him a single star, but he is wildly popular. I don't know what there is for him because the Judgment Day thing. Yeah. That'll keep him busy for a little bit, but that can't last very long. Right.
No, I don't think so because it looks like the Judgment Day eventually are going to go their separate ways. And I was thinking along the same lines Justin was, where they're going to find a way to get him back into the new bloodline versus old bloodline storyline, I think is where his eventual destination is going to be. Yes, he's over huge as a single star. He showed he can hang as a singles competitor, and you know, you see the heat flies out there every time he comes out. He's hugely over. That being said, you know, with the eventual return of Roman Reigns, who's already getting chance of We Want Roman, and him both fighting to combat the new Bloodline, the new Bloodline. You know what I mean? And you know, we still haven't seen hide nor hair of Jimmy Uso. So, you know, him coming back would be a nice return and a nice surprise. What if it was a case where, I don't want a fantasy book already, but what if it was a case where a new Bloodline is beating down a returning Roman Reigns and a Jey Uso, and Jimmy comes out for to help even the odds with maybe someone else?
I mean, that might be the next thing for him. It just, it seems, and that'll be fun and popular, don't get me wrong. It just seems like a lot of work was done to get Jey on his own and to make him super popular on his own for him to go right back to the Bloodline, which is kind of where he started. But that sometimes that's just the way it goes. I did want to say the Finn Balor Gunther match, a good one, hard hitting. Finn Balor, rest easy. That chest was very red. Justin, I think my very favorite moment of Damian Priest's title run was the end of this show and him coming in and just wrecking Gunther. He seemed awesome in this moment. This was maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. Favorite moment of Damian Priest's championship run was destroying Gunther.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of maybe a bit ironic. You know, last week it was perfect. You know, Gunther talked all that trash, calling him street trash and just completely down, you know, speaking down to him. And Priest came out. There's no words to be spoken. He just punched him in the mouth. You know, and they perfect. Started. And then tonight, the brawl tonight, I mean, like, and look, and we know Gunther's like a Sheamus or like a, you know, he bring it to him. He wants it to look good. He wants it to, and so you could see in that exchange of fists of flying, those two, you know, they have an understanding of we're gonna, you know, look, we're gonna hold our own here. It's ironic that this has been the best that Priest has looked in this title run, and it's also nice that he's kind of being presented as the face. And it's ironic that, you know, again, this might be the last final days of his title reign. I mean, I kind of think it is. So, yeah, I don't know. Whatever happens to Priest, win, lose, or draw at SummerSlam, and then, of course, the you know what happens to Judgment Day as a whole, and there's a lot of other tentacles with the Rhea, Dom, Finn, all that stuff. You know, I hope that Priest is not, like, sent to the back of the line. I just hope whatever happens, you know, momentum can be sustained somehow, even if he's not the champion, because he's really doing, he does great work, but I feel like it's really clicking these last few weeks as a babyface and coming out there and holding his own. I just hope that, you know, again, he's not just, you know, shoved to the back of the line.
Right. I will say, I'd imagine it's better to have your best days be the last days than have your worst days be the last days as champion. Cause now we'll all go, man, remember that championship? It was so great. Before he lost it to Gunther, as opposed to, man, I was so glad to see him lose that championship so we could finally wrap it up. So at least I imagine that's how it's going to be. I hope anyways. Jimmy, your thoughts on this one? And also, they said this was the first time these two guys have ever had a singles match before. Right. So, two guys I think a lot of people have wanted to see have a singles match for a long time. In your experience, for the guys backstage, for the wrestlers, for the writers, for the bookers and everyone else, does that stuff matter to them, or is that just kind of just a lucky happenstance that that's the way it worked out?
I think it's a little bit of the talent themselves. When they like to work with someone in the ring, they'd like to have a match on television and show people, you know, hey, we can really put on a great show and show everybody, especially in the back, why we belong in the ring together. And of course, from an office standpoint, you know, They'll take these two talents and say, yes, we got these two talents. Let's have a reason for these guys to be in there, as opposed to just making up a dream match. Okay, first time ever, let's put it out there with no rhyme or reason. At least this one had a little backstory to it. Gunther and Damian Priest have an issue. Finn is part of the Judgment Day, and you know he's gonna step up for his leader, his fearless leader, and try to take care of business there. But to your question, I think it's more not important, but more with the boys themselves like to have those matches and display it on television. Yeah, it's cool to do it at a house show, But when you do it in front of so many eyes, it's more gratifying, especially when they put on a banger.
Yeah. We got to Xavier Woods versus Karrion Kross. Kofi has re-aggravated his shoulder. So Kross says he wants Woods to join the final testament and denounce the power of positivity. After AOP get involved in the match, Kross gets the win. Justin, this was interesting to me because I feel like this story just personally just isn't working for me. I'm not necessarily connecting to it, but I also felt like everything that they did here was right. I thought the trash talk Karrion Kross was giving was awesome. I thought them costing Woods the match, I thought the whole thing actually was really well done. It's just, I guess, I don't know if it's because the fans don't seem that into it or whatever. It's just not sucking me in. And I feel like it's a travesty because this was done really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first real substance they tried to give Kross and his group Final Testament. And so, I mean, if Kofi is legit hurt, that sucks because that takes him out of play. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a Karrion Kross fan. I don't know if he's still snake bitten to the audience because of how bad his call up was. He was dominant in NXT and then he got called up very abruptly. And this is still when Vince was running things and he was given the gladiator helmet and he loses to Jeff Hardy. I don't know if it really traces all the way back to that, but just something. I mean, I thought they were onto something. New Day has been together for a decade. New Day, it's a decade. That's crazy in this day and age to be together for a decade, a tag team. And so he looked like he was trying to like be the guy who's going to finally break them up. And so I thought, wow, that's all right. That's something. And it kind of felt like it was building to something. And then again, like I said, Kofi gets hurt. So I don't know. I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know what's next. So I'm kind of at a loss, but I hope they figure something out because I'm a Karrion Kross fan.
Yeah, I think he has everything he wants. And like I said, this was even during the match, the trash talk he was doing, he seemed like someone who could be that big bad in a company. Jimmy, I think maybe one of the things that kind of took me out of this one is Kross has beaten the New Day before and he keeps wanting Woods to join him. He beat him, but like that doesn't change. Like winning didn't matter. There's not really, you can't beat someone into joining your team. So I don't really get what the game plan is here anymore.
No, you're trying to get him to join your team. And obviously he's decided he doesn't want to join your team after numerous beatdowns, like you said. So why bother continuing? Just beat him, you know, and be done with him. For lack of a better term. So continuing that is not helping him. And like Justin said, Karrion Kross is very talented, ticks a lot of boxes. But I think the fans are, like you said, tired of that same old every week. Like how often can you go back to that well?
Leonard Jones brings up a good point, Justin. I want to throw this one to you. Does looking different every week hurt Kross? Because he does seem to change up his facial hair or haircut every single week, which is very impressive, actually. But do you think that's hurting him, that he looks different?
Well, I'll put it this way. I guess inconsistent look doesn't help, right? I mean, if you're just trying to like make sure people recognize that. But I think it's probably a very micro thing in a bigger thing. I think there's a bigger, like I said, a bigger issue play, whether people are snake bitten by having seen him. You know, maybe he is a guy that like really needs a... I was gonna say maybe he's a guy that needs like some time away of a reset, but damn it, they released him and then they brought him back. So
right,
I don't know. I don't know. I think he's worthwhile to have on the roster. I'm not sure what the answer is. I don't know if the whole straddling him with AOP and Paul Ellering, if that's hindering him, if it just let him be a singles guy, he doesn't need to be a guy. I get the philosophy of let him be in control of a dangerous group, and that's gonna. Maybe that's not happening. Maybe we're not buying it. Maybe AOP is also snake bitten because we've seen, you know, them before. I don't know, but maybe have him against Jey Uso because Jey Uso's so over. So
yeah,
if he starts screwing with the Yeet Flies, maybe we'll walk. I don't know.
Nobody messes with the Yeet Flies. I don't know. Zelina Vega's talking trash and Sonya Deville and the crew beat her up for it. We get a six-person tag, Carter Chance and Valkyria versus Deville, Baszler, and Stark. Deville, Baszler, and Stark get the win. Jimmy, the story, though, is after the match, Damage Control comes out and cleans up Deville, Baszler, and Stark, looking like maybe we're going to get a three-person, six-person, three-on-three feud coming up down the pike here. Do you think does this work for you, Damage Control, kind of becoming the good guys in this situation?
Yeah, but have they? It's very confusing because they didn't give us any rhyme or reason as to why they would be the baby faces in this one, the good guys or the good gals or whatever you want to call it. So I think the crowd was a little confused too, because you could tell by the lack of reaction because they didn't know how to respond to this.
Yeah.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. All the action was fine. There was nothing wrong with the action. It's just people were kind of like, okay, but who's who here?
Right. Yeah, Justin, I guess it's a who runs WWE Raw, but it sounds silly, but I don't even know if there's a name for Sonya Deville's group. And so neither feels like they're very established. So neither feels very threatening right now. Well, Damage Control is established, but they're not hot right now.
Yeah, neither does. I mean, the heels and Deville, based on Stark, a little bit more, I guess. And again, let me start by saying this. I'm in support of the Triple H creative regime. I think there's a whole lot more good than bad. But I want to also make sure that I'm calling myself out, and so that way nobody can go on Twitter and act like I'm not acknowledging. When Triple H took over the creative, the first time before Vince tried to make a quick comeback, when Triple H took over creative, leading into a SummerSlam, Damage Control was one of the first things that was rolled out under him. You know, some of those ladies were rehired and put together. So I kind of had this belief that maybe close to his heart, that's a project that he wants to see succeed. He wants to see the name Damage Control. He wants to see the three. Well, I guess that they had Bailey too. But what I'm getting at is that part of me wonders, like, is he just? Are we holding on to something that it's just not working, not clicking? And we need to like go back to the drawing board. Is this one a little close to our heart? We want to see it work. I guess you could say maybe the same thing could be said about AOP,
right?
or about like. Are there some things that you just have in your mind like, oh, this should really work if only they would just understand it, they be in the crowd, and it's just not clicking. You go to town to town to town and just it's not working. So yeah, I mean, I guess, okay, let's try Damage Control as faces. They've never been, it's always been heels. Maybe, okay, let's put them on the spin of being the baby faces. Maybe that works. Maybe something clicks. Maybe there's something, maybe they can change the way they work that hits the crowd. I don't know. Again, try it, but again, it definitely feels like we are grasping at the last attempt to try to make this thing work. And at some point, you just got to listen to the audience. And if the audience is sitting on their hands or going to the bathroom, you know, we just have to blow it up.
Well, we have a couple guys that are about ready to blow things up. Sheamus and Bronson Reed have a matchup. It comes down to Pete Dunne getting involved and using the shillelagh on Sheamus to allow Bronson Reed to get the win. Also, The Miz is hosting SummerSlam. Justin, any thoughts on these two segments before getting into our predictions?
Love Sheamus. Hate that they went back to whatever this music is. That sucks. So that's that. Sheamus versus Pete will be great when we have that. The Miz and R-Truth, tremendous. Obviously, you got to have The Miz involved. It's Cleveland, right? Again, I guess if he wasn't popular and associated with R-Truth, again, you could have had The Miz being heel Miz making a big deal about going to Cleveland. You could have had him versus Jey Uso. So I don't know, like, but yeah, him as host, that's great. It's fine. It'll be fine. So it is what it is.
I don't have this as a statistical fact, Jimmy, but The Miz has hosted more events for WWE than any other person. I feel like at least he's the host of at least three PLEs a year, I think, at this point. So not a surprise, but cool to see that happening. I know you had some thoughts on how things went with Sheamus and Bronson Reed, though, regarding the end of that match and the distraction.
Yeah, it was Bronson Reed's leg that appeared to be hooked, be under the over the middle rope and under the bottom rope, but it wasn't quite under. So the referee did his best to make it look like he was trying to unhook his foot from the bottom rope when it was already unhooked. So, you know, sometimes it's weird and you have to call an audible. And maybe if Bronson Reed would have sold like it was in excruciating pain where the referee would be checking on him, maybe, you know, like you said, it wasn't really caught. So on the hard camera shot, you can tell that he was really, it almost looked like he was trying to put it back under.
Yeah. Point.
So that threw me off a little bit. But other than that, you know, stuff like that happens. Mistakes happen. What are you going to do? And as far as Miz hosting, I laughed out loud during this one because Miz went full on Larry David. And yeah. And R-Truth is just a gem. Mm-hmm. He makes you laugh on his own. But when Miz went I'm a big Curb Your Enthusiasm guy. So that popped me, huge pop from me.
Yeah, it'll be great to see. I'm excited for SummerSlam. It's going to be a good one. People are asking in the chat, by the way, like Tuck, saying, who's the Wrestling Inc. SummerSlam podcast looking like? All-star lineup. It's going to be George Ramosa and Flobo Boyce holding it down, so that'll be a good one. But what's going to be great as well, I'm not going to say better because you got to tune into that show as well, but we're going to do our predictions now. And as you guys know, our predictions – always airtight, always perfect. This is the show to check out for predictions. So watch out for spoilers. We're going to start. I don't know if this one's going to actually be. And by the way, in the chat, let me know which ones you think are going to, who's going to win each match. And in the comments, do the same.
Look at you, Jack. You're keeping record right now. Look at you.
I am. Love and then that. If I win, then I bring it back up. But if I don't, then I'm like, I forget it.
He's gonna screenshot this document.
My God.
And you know, I'm so glad I don't go first. And Justin's gonna go first on this one.
So for pay-per-view predictions, are we doing rankings as to who's first, second, third? It doesn't matter
anymore. I have not won rankings one yet, so not yet. When I get all the right answers, then we'll start the ranking.
Okay.
I don't do very good. So
again, I'm making my predictions sitting in a gimmick chair.
So don't fall through. It's going to bend.
Yeah, soon. Mine's a little rough. I haven't finished shaving it down. So
cookie sheet and all.
Yeah.
So Baby Guy says if Jack loses, he can't talk Twilight for a year. you know, this one feels like it should be the main event, even though it's not a championship match. But hey, I don't know. It might end up being one. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Special guest referee Seth freaking Rollins. Justin Labar. Who's winning that one?
Well, this should be the main event. As I preached on Busted Open on Sirius XM. Jack, it has been since January 20th, 2014. Since CM Punk has had a televised singles match on WWE television. This is the main event. You don't want anything to follow this.
Right.
But for prediction, Drew McIntyre is going to get the W. He needs the W. He's been on the losing end of a lot of things because he's been screwed or however you want to view it. And because you have Seth freaking Rollins, the referee, that's a lot of leeway of creative. Drew should win this because then your next plot of real estate to work with is the issues of Seth and CM Punk.
You know, I got to go with Drew McIntyre also. And I didn't even think that far ahead. I know Seth's going to be involved some way or another, but I look at the characters and Drew McIntyre can't live with another loss from CM Punk. He's not going to take a loss and go, okay, well, I guess I'm going to move on then. He has to win so he can walk away where CM Punk in care, I think he can move on, whether it be to go attack Seth Rollins and deal with that mess or do something else. But the Drew McIntyre character can't take a loss and move on. And I don't think we can keep this going for another month after this. So I go Drew McIntyre. Jimmy Corderas, what say you?
I agree with that. I think it's going to be a clean sweep because I can't see Drew McIntyre eating another loss to CM Punk. I just curious to see how they incorporate Seth Rollins into this and probably causing CM Punk to lose the match. Like you can't do something similar to the Bret Hart Undertaker match where Shawn Michaels was the referee, because contrary to popular opinion, they don't shave chairs. But something along those lines where he gets involved. Maybe he, you know, in that match, Shawn reluctantly counted three when he accidentally caused the contact. But maybe in this case, Seth doesn't reluctantly and happily counts three after causing CM Punk to lose.
Yeah, everyone is predicting Drew McIntyre, except for DJ, who's saying nobody because it's a draw. That's an interesting look at that one. But I kind of disagree, Jimmy. I'd like to see that. I would be totally okay if they literally copied Undertaker, Bret, and Shawn. I think that'd be a fun throwback. I'd kind of dig it. Oh, it'd be as an homage.
No, the idea of it, yes, but I they got to find a more creative way to do it because of the issues with chairs, that WWE doesn't do the same type of chair shots that they used to. So
there's a way to do it. Yeah, I guess you're right. The chair would have to be used differently, but I guess the premise of him using a chair, hitting the wrong guy kind of thing.
Or even if you do a curb stomp on the chair or something, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. But I think Drew has to win here. We move on to the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn versus Braun Breaker. This is an easy one for me. This is a layup. Braun Breaker's winning this one, baby. There's no way he's losing two pay-per-views in a row unless they're done with him, which would be crazy because he is a freak of nature. I'm going Braun Breaker, and I'm very confident about it. Jimmy, tell me why I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. I think if Braun Breaker doesn't win the title here, I think he loses a lot of steam because they've been putting a lot of investment into Braun Breaker. This is something he doesn't need a title, but in this case, I think not having him win the Intercontinental Championship will do more damage than him, you know, not accomplishing that goal. And Sammy doesn't really need it at this point. He's already gotten to where he's over.
Headline, Jimmy Corderas hates his fellow Canadians. Justin,
there's the Twitter spin for you.
Yeah, as I alluded to earlier, for the fact that they had Braun Breaker lose in a PLE match for this title, the last PLE, and he's challenging again. I can't see them putting him in this match again for him to lose. I think this is set up for him to win on the big stage of SummerSlam.
Yeah, this is a pretty clean sweep here in the chat as well, all going for Braun. Jimmy, you get first crack at this one. United States Championship match, Logan Paul versus LA Knight. I think it's appropriate you pick the United States Championship match first now that you've thrown the entire country of Canada under the bus with your Sami Zayn Braun Breaker pick.
Well, that being said, looking at this matchup, as good a champion as Logan Paul is and as surprising as his in-ring ability has been and his ability to create heat, he's a literal heat magnet. Again, you've got someone that is hugely over with the crowd and you run the risk of getting people turned off if you don't pull the trigger finally with LA Knight. So I'm going to go LA Knight with this one, and hopefully they don't, because Logan Paul's going to get his heat back anyway. It doesn't matter in some form or fashion. So LA Knight is someone who needs it right now.
Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can recall back to in 2023 being at some WWE live events and PLEs. A notable one where LA Knight was so over, and then Cena came out. He was like the special guest host of the PLE, and I could even watch Cena's eyes, his mouth, and he was like, wow, with how big of a reaction LA Knight got. They could, if the office felt that LA Knight just didn't check all the boxes, or if he wasn't vibing as a person behind the scenes, they could have shoved him aside, but they haven't, to the point of now we're looking at a SummerSlam, one of their biggest events of the year. They're putting him in a stadium show for their top mid-card title. So to me, that says they still see and believe in something in him. I'm not saying he's going to go to WrestleMania and win the world title, but they still see something in him. And I think they pulled the trigger on this. Absolutely. It's LA Knight.
Yeah, I got to agree. LA Knight, similar to Braun Breaker, if he doesn't win here, then I don't know what you've got planned for him. And he is so popular. The Yaz are getting to that woo category where you go to shows and you hear everyone just, yeah. You know, like I was even at AEW shows and they're doing it at AEW shows. You've got to cash in on this. LA Knight, I think, has to win this one. Not very interesting predictions so far. But Justin, you're about to spice things up as you pick the winner for the WWE Women's Championship match, Bayley versus Nia Jax.
This has been destined for Nia Jax since she won Queen of the Ring.
Wow, strong pick. And this is where we deviate because I am going with Bayley. I think she's going to overcome the Queen of the Ring and she's going to keep her championship. I'm going Bayley. Jimmy.
I have to break the tie. Oh,
now wait. You can't copy one of us. Copy us like last time.
Okay, no contest. No, I don't know. Oh, man. See, I was thinking Bayley too because, you know, we complain sometimes about how champions are presented on television. Are they booked properly? I think they haven't done Bayley too many favors as of right now. So I think she needs something. And Nia Jax it doesn't matter what she does. She's always going to have a place on the card and look like the monster that she is. So for me, I'm going to go Bayley with my fingers crossed.
We go to the other world championship, women's world championship, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. I get the first take on this one. And much like I am sparkly team Edward, I am sparkly team Liv Morgan. I think she's going to retain. I think she's going to keep the championship and deflect mommy's approach. Jimmy, well, you agree, right?
Well, I agree on the winner. I think Liv is going to win the match, but I think Dom is going to play a role in this, and we're going to see the dastardly turn of Dom on mommy.
The face turn, because we all want him and Liv to finally be together, right? Right, Justin?
I have Nia winning the title on the other brand because this title is going to stay the same. It is going to be Liv. Liv is going to go into SummerSlam and walk out of SummerSlam as champ to a very unhappy Cleveland Brown Stadium.
We get to what's listed here is the main event. Jimmy, World Heavyweight Championship. Damian Priest versus Gunther. Who's walking out with the strap?
I'm going to go off the board. I think Damian Priest retains here for the reasons you suggested earlier. He's starting to show his chops and the way he's built up. They've made me more interested in this match since it was first announced that the winner of the King of the Ring would get the title shot here. And in the last 2 weeks, I think Damian Priest has really upped his game. So hopefully they give him an opportunity to show more as champion, especially if the Judgment Day is going their separate ways. I'd like to see him on a singles run as champion without any background noise.
Interesting. I don't want to give my pick away, but I think it's obvious. Justin, do you agree? Is Damian Priest retaining?
I don't think so. As much as I would love him to, it just seems like the writing's on the wall for this is Gunther's coronation. And I say this because, one, Gunther, you know, obviously had the tremendous IC title run. You had to end that before you can put him in contention for the world title. So they did that. Made a big spectacle of him winning the King of the Ring, and he beat an all-star four, you know, a roster of four all-stars to get that King of the Ring. The fact that they said, okay, King of the Ring, you get your title shot at SummerSlam, that to me gives it away. And I say that because for Gunther specifically, because the next PLE after SummerSlam, they're in Berlin. Now, he's technically not German. He's Austrian, which borders Germany. If they wanted him to go into that show as the challenger, they could have just made the whole thing of, oh, you win King of the Ring, you like Money in the Bank. You get a title shot when you want to declare it. And he could have just declared it for, again, his part of the world where he grew up in, especially because he's playing the whole I'm European elitist, Damian Priest, your street American trash. And he could have gone into Austria, gone into Berlin and won it there. But the fact they didn't go that route and they made it a SummerSlam, I think they made it a SummerSlam because they want him to win on that grand stage because they believe in him as he's their heel of the future moving forward for the Monday Night Raw brand. I don't know who he fights at Berlin, if it's Priest in a rematch or whatever it is, but I just can't see Gunther losing this world title match. He does not swing and miss in this WWE run. He just doesn't. So I think he's got it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Gunther is the guy. I think Gunther is going to get the win. I think it's his time. And one of the reasons I picked both Liv and Bayley to retain is because otherwise this is a very championship changing hands show. So I feel like a few people had to hold on because I think Gunther, it's his time. I think him as the champion is exactly what the world needs right now. I don't know. That seems pretty big, but whatever. Gunther, I agree. Gunther's going to win it. Pretty divided in the chat, actually. Kind of surprised by that as well. So interesting picks where we have our divides are all is really the women's championship match and the men's heavyweight championship match. So we'll see who gets it right.
Well, we have one more match.
Yes, there is one more.
Scroll down.
Scroll page 4.
Oh, duh, that's right. We have one more match, and that one will go to – is that me picking? Who's first? Is it my pick for that one?
No, it'd be Justin. No?
Justin, okay, you get first pick here. Undisputed heavyweight championship match, Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa.
I'm betting it all on Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if one of us isn't betting it all on Cody Rhodes, then I think we'll talk about that, but I mean,
double down.
If Solo Sikoa, what are this Vegas odds on Solo Sikoa winning this? They've got to be just stupid. But there's no way Solo Sikoa wins. I'd bet my namesake farm on it. In the chat, let me know which one of you is crazy enough to pick Solo Sikoa for this one. I'm sorry, Solo.
But will this match close the show?
It might, because certain people might be making their return.
You mean lurking at Cleveland Stadium?
I think someone might be. I think a certain Bobby Lashley may come back. No. Ooh. Maybe John Cena? No.
No, you can't see him. No.
Maybe.
Omos.
Omos will show up. No, but. Yeah, I think that's the big thing. That's what a lot of people are tuning in for, is to see if Roman Reigns comes back. I hope he does, because who doesn't want to see Roman Reigns come back? But everyone in the chat, let us know your predictions. Let us know your thoughts. As we wind it down, Justin, overall thoughts, and where can we find you online?
Yeah, I mean, this go-home Raw, it had some hits and misses. We talked about some of the misses that I thought about. But overall, SmackDown's got a lot of SummerSlam has a lot of momentum going into it this weekend. Going to be a big show. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Follow me at Justin LaVar across the socials. You can hear me next Sunday morning reacting to SummerSlam and the press conference afterwards. Anything that's said there, as Sunday morning, I'm on Busted Open, co-hosting every single Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, myself and partner in crime, Jonathan Hood. You can call in as well if you want to be part of it. So you can listen live, SiriusXM radio channel 156, listen on the SiriusXM app on demand, or you can get the abbreviated podcast version as well. So talk to you Sunday.
Justin LaVar doing the Lord's work, taking live calls on.
Oh, that's a blast.
the confessionals?
That's a blast.
So, yeah, definitely listen. That's always a treat to listen to. Jimmy, where can we find you arguing with everybody on Twitter? And what do you think of the show?
I thought the show was fine. I mean, like, it wasn't super, there was this stuff that got me excited for certain matches more than it than I was excited for. And one match, like we talked about, the opening kind of like made me go, I wanted to see a little more in that Punk Drew segment. But anyways, but as far as where you can find me, obviously you can find me here on Monday and Wednesday nights, covering Raw and Dynamite respectively. And you can catch my Ref and Rants on all my social media platforms from Monday to Friday. Just giving my opinions. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Jimmy Cordero, if you want to get blocked. And, the RefNet Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This week coming up, we got, David Penzer is going to join us. It's going to be a lot of fun chatting with him. So that's going to be a blast. And there's some other things that I can't disclose right now in the works, but when I can, you guys will be the first to know.
Hall of Fame, Jimmy Corderas. You heard it here first, folks. And just to make sure it happens, go to Twitter and start demanding Jimmy Corderas enter the Hall of Fame. I'm going to be there for it when it happens sooner rather than later. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm going to be covering AEW on Wrestling Inc. here on Wednesday. Also, Wednesday morning, me and my good pal Flobo Boyce, we chat about NXT on Draped in Gold every Wednesday morning. You can check that out. Speaking of Flobo, he's going to be covering SummerSlam with George Hermosa on Saturday here on Wrestling Inc. I guess the long story short is follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. And be sure to tune into the After NXT show right here tomorrow. That does it for us. We're hitting the end stream. Let me know your thoughts on SummerSlam predictions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.